This is Here and Now, and all this week we're talking about student debt. Yesterday we heard from Catherine Bond Hill, the president of a private school, Vassar College.
I think our costs are being driven up partly from the rising income inequality in America and the demand from those high-income families for the kinds of things they want for their students when they go on to college.
Today we want to hear from a public school. We're joined now by Mitch Daniels, former Republican governor of Indiana, now president of Purdue University. He's with us from West Lafayette, Indiana. Governor Daniels, welcome.
Thanks so much for having me.
And do you think that college is too expensive right now in general?
Yes, I do. I don't know that it needs a lot of debate.
Well, what's the reason for it?
Colleges have charged more because they could. If you tried to design a system almost certain to cost to have excessive cost, it would look pretty much like what we have. Colleges have been selling a product that we have all taken as a necessity. There has been no proof of quality until maybe very recently, some attempts to do so, to measure or determine where true value is being delivered, where student intellectual growth is occurring, where success later in life is happening. And in the absence of any such proof, people have associated a higher sticker price with quality. And on top of all that, there's been a massive third-party subsidy, primarily from government, which has insulated the purchaser against the cost. It's thoroughly documented by now that as the government has infused, for every dollar the government has infused in the system, with all the best intentions, of course, colleges have raised prices as much as 70 cents of that dollar and found ways to spend it.
Well, so where are they spending it that they shouldn't be spending it? You're now in charge of a major university. Where should cuts be happening?
It's also thoroughly documented that there's been a so-called amenities arms race, things you wouldn't have seen on a college campus even a decade or two ago, climbing walls, elaborate dorms, remarkable food. And as a newcomer to higher ed, people are always asking me what's the biggest surprise. I always start with the food. I said it's supposed to be bad and standard. Instead, it's spectacular and bountiful. Things not really related to the academic mission of the school have become part of the terms of competition. So that's part of it. And, also bookshelves full of studies about the growth of administrative staff and bureaucratic overhead. All this is so. And not faulting anybody here. People did what humans do, and the money was there, so they spent it. The former president of Princeton, Bill Bowen, it's now known as the Bowen rule, that colleges will raise spending to meet the revenue.
So you think if you were to take away all those things, the extra administrative staff, the fancy food, the nice dorms, the climbing walls, that you could get college back down to the level it was, 10 years ago?
I'm not sure you could get all the way back down, but I do think the escalation continues, and I do think you could moderate that. Not prescribing for anyone else, but here at Purdue, we're in year three of a tuition freeze, and we have pledged ourselves to a fourth year. And we have reduced the cost of room and board. We've reduced the cost of textbooks. It's less expensive to go to Purdue University now than it was 3 years ago, and yet the quality of our student body is stronger. Applications are at record levels. I guarantee you the quality of our faculty is, and the numbers of our faculty are both increasing. So these things are not impervious to change.
But are you providing the opportunity for any student in Indiana, any high school student who wants to go to college, to be able to do so if they have the scores that it takes to get into Purdue? At $10,000 a year, there are probably many families that wouldn't be able to afford that.
That's probably true, although Indiana has one of the most generous state systems of grants and support of any state. But yes, we constantly work on this, that our goal is that our university be accessible to students of all socioeconomic levels who can meet our high standards.
Do you think that's under threat right now, not just in Indiana, but at public universities around the country, that those states will not be able to provide that opportunity for students?
Sure. I think you're seeing it get away from us in far too many places, and it's reflected also. And some students attain access all right, but at a very fearsome costs, namely large amounts of debt. I noticed that the new number is about $29,000 average for those who have taken on debt, which is a very high percentage of all students these days. So, and that has serious consequences, we've now learned, in the post-graduation years. It's a problem for us all, by the way, Jeremy. First of all, of course, for the student involved, but secondly, for society. Young people are postponing home ownership, postponing family formation, postponing children, postponing starting businesses, because in part, at least, of student debt. So we've built ourselves a significant set of problems here, and it's really good that there's now such sensitivity and people are working on.
And are you worried that as you look at – because it's not just the cost of college and the pressure on students and families or the pressure on state budgets that's at issue here. It's also – you've got an institution that's been built over decades into one of the great institutions in the state. And you could say that about institutions in many other states around this country, if not all states around this country, that these universities have been built up. Are you worried that by cutting – you did that as governor. You cut $150 million out of higher education, that you may risk the stature that this institution, that these institutions have gained over these many years.
First of all, we added spending to higher education when the recession hit. Like every state, I think, in the country, there was a one-time small step back. But Indiana was third in the nation, I saw, next to a couple oil-rich states, in maintaining its higher ed spending. So that's not at issue here, and I suppose that might be one reason we've been able to do a little better here at Purdue in holding costs in line. But yes, it's a major concern. You know, Purdue's a land-grant school. We were put here to open the gates of higher education 150 years ago beyond the elites and the privileged and the wealthy, and that's still our objective. We've just taken our largest freshman class in many years, and I hope that one reason, in fact, we're sure one reason for the surge in applications beyond Purdue's academic reputation is that people know we're working on affordability for students, and they are less likely to suffer big increases. You know, the class that will graduate next spring will never have seen a tuition increase at Purdue University. That'll be true of the class that follows them. And
now, how is that possible? How are you able to do that?
If you concentrate on the core mission. And by the way, we are adding faculty. We are growing our world-class engineering college, computer science college, things we think are important priorities for us, investing heavily in research. So it's not as though we're penalizing the future at all. But if you concentrate on the core mission – and a challenge, the idea of, you know, putting up a new building every time someone has a new idea as opposed to looking for space you have now, re-examining fundamental costs and business processes. So far, at least, we have been able to manage within the available revenues without resort to the easy answer, which has always been just tax the students more.
Is there anything that you think the federal government should be doing to address this that they're not doing right now?
Yes, I do. It's sometimes, I think, exaggerated by schools defending their cost structures, but it is absolutely true that the avalanche of requirements, regulations, reports that are required by the federal government, many of them with no reasonable rationale. Yeah, the federal government could step back from a lot of this and alleviate the cost. Vanderbilt claimed, of course, hundreds of millions of dollars when they looked at their own cost structure. Whether that's accurate or not, it's, as they say, probably directionally right. So, yes, the federal government could deregulate, and they seem receptive to suggestions about doing that.
But what about an idea like that that's been floated in the campaign recently by Bernie Sanders on the left, that the federal government should make sure that public college and university should be free for every student?
Well, I don't think it's a very credible idea. First of all this would be borrowed money. It's an extraordinary amount of money. His numbers did not match or even come close to it when he said he thought he had a way to pay for it. And so all you'd be doing, it's not debt-free education, it's all debt education and just more of it. It would, and the debt, by the way, would be inflicted on the very same young people who are already facing enormous debts run up for them by us, their elders, and spent not for their future, but spent on current consumption over recent years. So, no, I don't think that's the answer. And, of course, it would only exacerbate the problem of easy money for colleges, making it all too easy to increase their spending, say yes to everyone, and leave the system even less efficient than it is now.
That's Mitch Daniels, the president of Purdue University, also former governor of Indiana. Governor Daniels, President Daniels, thank you for joining us.
It was a privilege.
And again, we're hearing from a variety of voices this week. You can hear some of our other conversations at our website, hereandnow.org. Tomorrow, we're going to hear from some loan counselors and college counselors who say students do have options when it comes to dealing with all that debt and setting things up so that they don't have a mountain of debt at the end, or not as big a mountain of debt. That's tomorrow on Here and Now. Weigh in at hereandnow.org.